And greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Very happy to be here on the Sabbath after Thanksgiving. I hope that you have enough turkey, dressing, and everything else that goes with it. And remember, you can diet next week and lose all your pounds. Now, that might not be possible in 1 week, but anyway, you know. And Dolores and I were commenting on, let's go here to 1 John, the second chapter, because I think this is something. We were commenting on how that Christmas is so anti-Christian, anti-Christ, it's unreal. And how do you get Christ into a situation where there's competition among the stores and merchandising? Who's going to open the earliest? Some said, well, they're going to open at 6. Others said 5. Others said 4. One said midnight. And people would go out and camp out and wait, stand in lines. Remember what happened last year when they opened the door? They all ran in and trampled the doorkeeper to death. Now, where's Christ in all of that? And looking at all the ads and everything that there is, I couldn't help but think of 1 John 2 and verse 15, because this epitomizes Christmas. Christmas has nothing to do with Christ. It has to do with buying and selling and merchandising. And a lot of people, when they said, well, tomorrow's Black Friday, think, ooh, is that witchcraft? What is Black Friday? Dolores asked me and said, what's Black Friday? And I said, they call it Black Friday because that's the first day of the year for businesses to really begin making a profit. And they make anywhere from 10 to 50% of the entire year's profit from Christmas sales. How many heard, let's worship Christ? Well, you hear this, let's put Christ back in Christmas, but Christ was never, never in Christmas. So how can you put him back there? All right, 1 John 2 and verse 15. And yet people are in love with it. You know, they've never sat down and said, I wonder how true this is with the Bible. They just assume that it is, but it's not. It's all a part of the world. Oh, and there's one town in China that the whole town is devoted to making Christmas toys and trinkets and wreaths and lights and everything. Now, verse 15, do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. And then we'll see that's exactly what this is. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and that's what Christmas is all about. Get something you want. The lust of the eyes, and look at all the advertisements and all the things that they have for that. The pretentious pride of physical life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Everyone's getting involved. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now, some people have been confronted when they first hear that Christmas is not in the Scriptures. And they first find out that the Bible says, quoting God, concerning their feast days, he says, I hate your feast days. They think, why? I got an email from a man who said, oh, I just found out about Christmas. How am I going to approach it with my wife? And this was like 3 weeks before Christmas last year, see. And I said, best thing to do is wait until after Christmas, because you're so close to it, you don't want to spring it on her right now. And that'll give you a chance to point out some of the things and details about it so that people, your family and your wife, will understand. Because they think, oh, if you don't keep Christmas, you're against the family, you're against God, you're against the church. That's how people are. But here it is. It's going to pass away. We guaranteed millennium there will not be any Christmas, or Easter, or New Year's, or any of those days. So it's just like it says, lies told over generation and repeated over and over and over again when someone brings the truth about it and shows that it's wrong, they consider the speaker a raving lunatic. And so we'll have to see how things go. But Christmas better watch out, because Halloween is catching up with sales and things like that. They sell more costumes, and adults spend more money on Halloween than they do on Christmas. Okay. Now let's learn something from today. Living in this world, we have a lot of things that we're confronted with. Everyone is confronted with difficulties and trials and stress, and especially those who are now dealing with unemployment, loss of jobs, loss of homes, and their whole lives are upside down. And they don't know what's happening, and they don't know how these things are coming about, and they don't know why they're coming upon them. And most of them don't know their way out of it. Well, when we have troubles and difficulties like this come along, we understand that there's, just like Paul said, there are perilous times shall come. And we're in them right now. And so what we need to look to is the hope of God and deliverance from these things and our troubles and our difficulties. Now, troubles and difficulties are also the test by fire, as it were, so that through that you can develop the character, and through that you have to make the choice. Will I always choose God? Will I always trust God? Will God help me? Will God deliver me? How is this going to come out? Now, many times God will work through other people and so forth to help you. But let's come here to Luke 18, and let's see something that we have a promise that God gives us. Luke 18, verse 7. Now, after the parable of the unjust judge that the judge finally heard, because his widow was coming and saying, "Avenge me of my enemies," then he draws the comparison. Now, look at all the trouble that this little widow had. Many troubles, many difficulties, but she never gave up. And we don't know who the adversary was. We don't know what he was trying to do. We don't know if he was trying to collect excessive rent or anything like that from her. We don't know exactly what it was, but it was illegal and unlawful, and finally the judge intervened and ruled for her. Now, verse 7 it says, "And shall not God execute vengeance for his elect?" Because, see, remember, vengeance belongs to God. What Satan wants us to do when troubles and difficulties come along, and we all go through them, every one of us, we have, our family has, you have, come down to times where you don't know how you're going to make your mortgage payment, you don't know where you're going to get employment, you don't know what is going to happen, you don't know what is taking place with your children, you don't know about your mother and father, and all of those things become very worrisome difficulties, you see. And when we find something that is wrong, then the automatic reaction is to get mad and hateful and bitter and things like this, and that's not going to solve the problem. Rather, that adds to the problem, because God is the one who will execute vengeance for his elect. Now, he will do it in his time, in his place, according to his will, but he promises that he will. But notice what we are to do. For his elect who cry out to him day and night. So whatever there is a problem or difficulty, pray about it day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. Do what you need to do. Ask God to help and intervene, and he will. And patiently watch over them. And God has lots of patience with us. Now notice verse 8. I tell you that he will execute vengeance for them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find the true faith on the earth? Now that's a very interesting thing, isn't it? Do people really believe God in this modern age? And also, will he find, there are two ways that true faith means. It means, number one, really believing in God. Number two, having the true structure of faith through the beliefs that are in the Bible. So he asked, shall he find the true faith on the earth? Then he goes on showing here. Verse 9, and to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, he also spoke this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. If there's any one occupation that is very despised, it is tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself in this manner, very self-righteous. Now see, we don't want to get self-righteous either, but notice, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Now notice what he says. He brings out things that are important. God does not want us to be these following things. But you see, the whole point was missed by this Pharisee. I'm not like other men, extortioners, unrighteous, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in a week. I give tithe of everything that I gain. Now, let's stop and ask about these things here. Does God expect you to not be an extortioner? Of course. Does he expect you to not be unrighteous? Of course. Does he expect you not to commit adultery or fornication or sexual immorality? Yes. But if you compare yourself among yourself, then you're not wise. And that's what happens too many times when there are troubles and difficulties. So he says, I fast twice in a week, I give tithe of everything that I gain. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat himself on the chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And actually, the Greek bears the emphasis of the sinner. Now, that's how he saw himself. Now, notice, the whole process and the operation of these two things we find here in verse 16, or verse 14, rather. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and the one who humbled himself shall be exalted. All right? Now let's see how that applies to hope and deliverance. So we can look and see how God can help us and lead us and direct us. Let's come to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. Now, one of the things that is always important to remember and keep in mind, Proverbs 12, is this. We find our answers to our problems and difficulties in the Bible and through prayer and through trusting God, through hoping in his deliverance, and he will provide. Now, many times it'll look like he's not going to provide, but then there's the rescue at the last minute. All right, Proverbs 12 and verse 13. Whoever despises the word shall be destroyed. Oh, that's 13. That's the wrong chapter. Okay, Proverbs 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. And what did it say about the tax collector? He was justified. That meant he was just. So God shows that he'll bring us out of trouble. Now, sometimes it doesn't look like it when it's coming upon us. Come over here to Proverbs 11 and verse 8. Proverbs 11 and verse 8. Now, when we find ourselves in difficulty and are looking to God to help us, let's use the Word of God and trust the Word of God and know that it will happen. Verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. And we're going to see that we find ourselves in lots of trouble many times. But the wicked comes in his stead. And that ties right in with verse 9 and 10. A hypocrite destroys his neighbor with his mouth, but through knowledge the righteous shall be delivered. See, because you know God, you know the Word of God, you know the truth of God, you have the Spirit of God, so he's going to deliver you. All right, now let's come, since we're in Proverbs, and we'll go back to the Psalms here in just a minute, and we'll spend a lot of time in the Psalms, and that's why, when you have troubles and difficulties, use the Psalms as your prayer life. Take the Bible, open it up to different Psalms, get on your knees, read the Psalms, make those Psalms part of your prayers, and then claim the promises that are there. And you can say, oh, God, hear me, help me, deliver me. You are righteous. You are good. You have promised to help. And I'm asking for you to intervene and fulfill your promises. I know that you are a God who is true. I know that you are a God who cannot lie. And then you have to be like the tax collector and repent of your sins. Now here, Proverbs 3, let's begin in verse 1. This also shows us some things that we need to do and not do. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. We're going to the Psalms a little later, so if you went to Psalms 3, I misled you. Forgive me. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, now what are we to become? The sons and daughters of God, correct? So let's put a spiritual application to each one of us here. Do not forget my law. Not only the law of God, but also the teachings of Christ, everything that we have in the New Testament and so forth. But let your heart keep my commandments. Now that's an important thing. Because when you do something from your heart, that means it's an integral part of your way of thinking and your emotions. So that you do it because you love God. Now here's what it will do. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Well, now let's think about long life. What are we talking about concerning us? Eternal life. Yes, indeed. Now, in spite of the troubles and difficulties that come along, and even when you see the enemy in trouble, don't rejoice. God will take care of them. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart. See, because the attitude is the most important. Remember the repentance of the tax collector. Now here's what it's going to do, verse 4. And so you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now what is this to lead to? Now this is the most difficult thing when you're confronted with catastrophic problems. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Now that means you have to know and understand God. That means you have to know and understand His Word. And then it says, lean not to your own understanding. So what do you pray? God, lead me with your Spirit. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Help and show me what I need to do. Help me around the difficulties and problems that I'm confronted with. Open the door and let the way be clear. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. There it is. So if you have trouble that comes along, Don't go out and try and solve it until you have prayed, until you have studied, until you have put yourself in God's hands to trust Him. Because hope, trust, and deliverance all come from God. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that's how we can grow in grace and knowledge and understanding what we need to do. Now let's come to the book of Psalms. Let's come to Psalm 37. Now we'll be here quite a bit because the Psalms are very key in understanding what we need to do. Psalm 37, and let's pick it up here in verse 22. Now this, look at every word of God as a promise to claim. Verse 22, for those blessed of Him shall inherit the earth, and those cursed of Him shall be cut off. That is true in everything. When you're in trouble, it's so easy to look out and see people in the world who are motivated by lust and greed prosper for a while. But it's just like the article that Jim handed me here before services. There's a way now to make it look like you have gold and you don't, by taking bars of tungsten, which weigh almost identical to the weight of gold. Gold weighs 19.32, grams per centimeter. Tungsten weighs 19.3 grams per centimeter. Now, they know that in buying and selling gold bars, there is now a way that they have discovered that people have actually done it by taking tungsten bars, overlaying them with gold, and then in the transportation of it, to switch. And in the transportation of it, to take and stamp right on the bar as if it were the real thing. And now they're worried. We wonder, what's in Fort Knox? Is it gold or tungsten? See, God's way always works. Here's why. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are made firm by the Lord, and he delights in his way. See, the truth is you can delight in God's ways, and God can see what you're doing that pleases him. It works both ways. Verse 24, though he fall, we all do, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. There's another promise we can claim. Let's see what else. Let's see what else this tells us. There's an awful lot in this psalm which helps us to understand how God, if we're hoping in Him, looking to Him, trusting in Him, will deliver us. Now here's quite a statement, verse 25. I have been young and now I am old. That applies to a lot of us. And you think about, well, would you do the things today at this age that you did when you were young? No. A lot of them you'd never do. All right? But here's what he said. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. All the day long he deals graciously and lends, and his children are blessed. So even in difficult times, you never stop doing what is right. And that's how verse 27 fills in. Depart from evil and do good and live forevermore. All of these promises. Remember, even in difficult times, to do what is good and right, there's a blessing. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. And the righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell in it forever. And so again, here, what is he doing? He's looking at the ultimate goal, the ultimate calling. And here's why. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. So there we go, from our heart. Loving God, serving God, hoping in his way. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the earth. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Now, there's a promise that we can relate to going clear back to Revelation 16 and the pouring out of the seven last plagues, right? And then after that, coming on the earth with Christ to help set up the kingdom of God and rule the world. There it is right there. So when you look out, here's another good description of today. I have seen the ruthless wicked in great power and spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I searched for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright one, for the end of that man is peace. And so when there are troubles and difficulties, you have peace, peace of mind. You have the promises of God. But the wicked shall be destroyed together. The prosperity of the wicked shall be cut off. Is that what we're seeing today? Yes, we just found out this last week that one of the Arab nations that touted itself to be really, really rich and having lots of money, remember the, I don't know if you saw it on National Geographic or the History Channel, where one of the princes of Dubai is building this big city out in the Persian Gulf, and he's had all of the expensive equipment and pumping rock and pumping water and sand and building these to sell them for a high price to the real super rich of the world. The world was shocked on Friday. Dubai said, we want relief for 6 months to not pay interest on our $56 billion in loans. Everyone thought, oh, they have an endless supply of oil to pay for it. But you see, sooner or later, and I think the most infamous one to say it was, his name was Jeremiah Wright. The chickens come home to roost. Or in this case, the vultures circle and wait for the rotten flesh. All right, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they take refuge in him. That's why in time of trouble, never forget God. Now notice what he says here. Let's look at some of the key words, and this is what we're going to do when we go through some of these Psalms. Salvation of the righteous, strength, time of trouble, the Lord shall help them. Deliver, save them. Key words in understanding all of it. Now let's come to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. This is quite a psalm. And all of these, Dan, are when you're in trouble, when you're in difficulty, when you have things that are coming upon you, that are overwhelming you, and sometimes it's that way. There's one psalm that says, oh, I'm in the mire and I'm sinking. Help me. Now, Psalm 25 and verse 1, to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Notice again, trust. We're going to see trust, deliverance, hope, and salvation. That's what we're going to focus on today. Do not let me be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none who wait upon you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. And God delivers. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. See, because God wants you converted, he's interested in your character, and all of this is based upon the love of God to you, your love to God, and that you're walking in faith, believing in hope, and living in love. All of it. Verse 5, what's very important in time of trouble, do not be deceived. That's why verse 5 says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day long. And God does deliver. Now notice this, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they have been of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Now see how these kind of prayers, you can just take these. As I said, open the Bible, read them, pray about them. Let these words be your words. Think about it, and then start applying them to your own situation and your own life, and begin asking God in the same way that you find in the Psalms. And you're going to find that in itself is going to give you hope, that is going to give you comfort, that is going to lift you up, and God is going to help you and inspire you and direct your paths. Now let's continue on here in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. And always remember this, when the times of trouble come, that's so you can learn to teach you in the way of God. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. There we have some tremendous intervention, don't we? Come down here to verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. Now you see, the deliverance we are talking about is the secret deliverance that comes from God. And also the purpose of life to the world. They don't know. So this is a secret of the Lord. And Jesus said, it's been given to you to know the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom of God. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Now I heard the other day, Rush Limbaugh, I listened to him, and I heard him say that this administration lives in a universe of lies. And I thought he coined that quite well. Universe of lies. Everything is a lie. Nothing is true. And yet it's presented as truth. And I couldn't help but think about the scripture which says there in Isaiah 25 and verse 8 that there is a covering over the eyes of all nations. And Satan is the one who is deceiving. And so that is true. But we, in the church of God and having the knowledge of God, are to live in the universe of truth. And that is going to help us and rescue us from the things that we're confronted with. Verse 16. Turn unto me and be gracious unto me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Now you see, you have physical pain, you have emotional pain, you have physical distress, you have emotional distress, you have mental distress, and all of these things, see. Now notice what he says here, that these are all enemies. Verse 19, consider my enemies, for they are many. And they hate me with cruel hatred. So sometimes you're going to be really right up against it. So here's the prayer. O keep my soul, deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel. And also, you can put your name there, whatever your name is, O God, out of all his troubles. And God will do it. Now notice, we have troubles enlarged, we have affliction, we have those that hate us, but keep my soul, deliver me, let me not be ashamed, redeem Israel, and you can just say, redeem me. Now let's come to Psalm 115, and let's look about trusting in God, and how this helps us in everything that we do. When you have trust, you have faith, you have steadfastness, you have consistency, you have confidence. All right, let's pick it up here, Psalm 115 and verse 9. Now notice this. These are what you would call trilogies, or three verses in a row that are very similar and repetitive. Verse 9, O Israel, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. O you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. So we look at it in three different ways, don't we? On a national way, which unfortunately we're not doing. We can say house of Israel, is like the nation. We can say house of Aaron is much like the ministry. Trust in the Lord. And then, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. God never forgets us. Remember this. You have the Spirit of God. Christ and God the Father spiritually are dwelling in you. They are with you through all these troubles and difficulties, and they will help you out of them. They're always mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Now notice the three again. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So this is really, you know, a tremendous psalm. Now notice what's going to happen. Look at the difficulties you've gone through in your life, and then see where you are today. See how many that God has delivered you out of, and look at how God has blessed you and helped you in it. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Now, you can't receive any greater blessing than that. And Christ is the one who has made everything. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he's given to the children of men. And so there he can be with us every step of the way. Now, come over here on the same page, Psalm 118. And let's see how we are to have our relationship with God. That's why you've heard it said how many times? Prayer and study. A personal relationship with God. And you can find this many, many times. When you're really not praying as you ought to, what happens? A trouble comes along, doesn't it? And then what does that do? That reminds you, you've got to pray. Now here, Psalm 118. Here's also part of our relationship with God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his steadfast love endures forever. Or as the King James says, his mercy. Let Israel now say that his steadfast love endures forever. Now notice again the three verses in a row. Actually, in this case, four. Let the house of Aaron now say that his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say that his steadfast love endures forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. He answered me and set me in a large place. So deliverance and salvation comes from God. All of this is defining the kind of trust that we need in God. Now notice what this is really a fantastic verse. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now that's quite a verse. The way the Lord is on our side is when we are on his side. We can't live our lives in sin and say, oh God, be with me. No, the Lord is on our side when we are on his side. Notice what happens. Verse 7. The Lord is for me as my helper. So when troubles come along, don't think, well, God is against you and all these things are happening and God is not happy with you and God is not pleased with you. Take this psalm. Read it. Pray to God. He is my helper. Therefore, I will look in triumph upon those who hate me. Now, I love these next two verses. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence than to trust in princes. So when these troubles and difficulties come along, the government says, well, trust me, we'll take care of you. Now, I heard something very interesting, too, on Russia's program where they had this over in Hawaii. They had this one resort place where there was a landslide, and the state said it would take $4 million and 2 years to do the job. Well, the people all got together, and they got their equipment together, and they went out there, and in 8 days, they cleaned up the landslide and opened up the park. So they went and did what was right. They didn't trust the government. Whenever the government says, trust me, you're in trouble. Whenever a politician says, believe me, and it's hard to believe him, watch out. That's why it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now notice, verse 8, it doesn't matter the odds. All nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. So God is there to help, is there to intervene, is there to bless you, is there to deliver you, and is there to help you overcome in all your circumstances. Now let's take a little break.